This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Hello and welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello everybody, my name is Beau Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque. And this is part two of our 2015 International Convention Preview. We have three guests today, so let's get right to it. Patricia Fripp is an award-winning keynote speaker, business presentation expert, sales presentation skills trainer, and in-demand speech coach to executives and celebrity speakers. Meetings and Convention magazine named her one of the 10 most electrifying speakers in North America. Based in San Francisco, California, Patricia delivers keynotes and breakout sessions for Fortune 500 companies, and she coaches their executives on presentations. Those in attendance at the Toastmasters International Convention this year will have the opportunity to experience Patricia Fripp twice, as she's presenting the conference keynote on Wednesday, followed by an educational workshop on Thursday, co-presented with Darren LaCroix. Patricia Fripp, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome, Patricia.
Pleasure to be with you.
Great. So, Patricia, before we jump into talking about your keynotes, you're sharing with us before we started recording here that you have some deep roots with Toastmasters. Can you share with our listening audience how you got involved with Toastmasters and how it's led you to this moment of keynoting the 2015 convention?
Certainly. In 1975, when I went into business for myself, one of my best friends and mentors had suggested I take the Dale Carnegie course, which I did and loved it. I took the sales course, the public speaking course. And then he said, now you need to join Toastmasters to keep practicing. And that was my first introduction to the wonderful world of Toastmasters. I joined Cable Car Toastmasters. We met in the IBM building in San Francisco, and we were lucky enough to have a lot of seasoned speakers. And then in 1978, I was the second woman to keynote a convention, which was in Vancouver. Since then, I've keynoted the Toastmaster International Convention two or three more times, the last and probably most memorable as it relates to this convention was 2001. And Darren LaCroix was sitting in the audience and loved my presentation because I was talking about speech structure. The light bulb went off. Then I sat in the audience when he won the World Champion of Public Speaking and was blown away with his presentation. And since then, of course, we've become good friends, business partners, and collaborators in many projects.
Nice. So it's all come full circle. And obviously, you must have knocked the ball out of the park your previous times as you're coming back again. So that's fantastic. Patricia, can you tell us what you have in store for the audience? I know your keynote speech is entitled Under the Magnifying Glass, Good to Great on Steroids. Is the Good to Great portion, is that keying off of the book by the same name, or you got something else in store?
Not at all. We are making the assumption that if anyone is at the convention, that they are serious about Toastmasters and about speaking, so they're probably quite good. We are going to put a few techniques under the magnifying glass, in other words, taking a closer look. Most specifically, look at the quality of your words, how you can it present information in your stories in a way that the audience can see it and better remember it, and perhaps look at some more interesting way to grab the audience's attention.
Now, we obviously don't want you to give away all of your secrets. I'm sure there are many valuable gems you'll be dropping. But maybe if we take the second point there, helping your audience to see it better and remember it, your story. Can you maybe give us some tips of what you're going to offer along those lines?
Yes, it's a formula on how to present information. You can do it in a sentence. You can do it in a story. And I'll give you an example, which I may or may not put in my speech. It's how we normally speak compared to how we speak to be remembered, repeated, and retweeted. And that is the formula of when, where, who, what happens. So let's take a sentence that we could turn on CNN or read in the newspaper, and we would hear or read a sentence that might sound something like this. President Obama delivered a speech on healthcare at Yale University yesterday. That's how we normally speak.
Pretty pedestrian.
Yeah, well, but that's how we normally speak.
Sure.
So I'm suggesting you would, one, put it in context. So we say yesterday. If you said yesterday, the audience, be it a reading or a listening audience, as we're listening to the news, or a speaker say this, oh, recent history, President Obama, oh, I know who that is. I'm getting confused. Yesterday at Yale University, okay, so when was it, where was it? President Obama, oh, I know who that is, delivered a speech on healthcare. See, I maintain what is most important is what he spoke on. It's more important than was it yesterday or the day before, was it Yale or Harvard? So it's a matter of, in comedy, we talk about a setup phrase and a punch phrase or a punch word. Take my wife, please. What comes at the end triggers the laugh. In business communication, I consider a setup phrase and an impact phrase. So, for example, we often hear, and many years ago, I was working on a presentation with my first speech coach. And one of the lines of my presentation was, I set a new goal that day. And he said, no, Patricia, the punch word, the impact word is goal. That day I set a new goal. So it's a matter of looking at what is most recent is more remembered. So it's taking the structure of sentences and the structure of presenting information in our stories.
This makes me think of the mic drop lines. You know, after you say something in the mic, you just drop the mic and everyone applauses or goes crazy and you hear that you hear that feedback. So it sounds like what you're talking about is get one of those mic drop lines, convert it into that.
Good. That I would not have said that way, but that sounds good.
Yeah, if you can't picture yourself saying something and then dropping the mic and then getting a thunderous applause and walking off stage like, I'm out of here, then...
I'd like to challenge you to drop the mic in Las Vegas, Patricia. Yeah. I think that would be pretty cool.
That would be awesome. Unless it's one of those things that attach to your heads like the... wouldn't work. It's got to be the real thing.
Right. Now, Patricia, obviously I can totally see how if you're preparing a speech carefully in advance that there'd be lots of opportunity to work this subtle but powerful technique into it. But is this something that people can be trained to do on the fly, even in a extemporaneous speaking situation?
Yes, because what we take to the stage is what we do in everyday life. One of my principles is build rehearsal into everyday life. And that does not mean you practice a whole speech. It does mean you practice segments of your what could be in a speech. It's a matter of good habits. And another of the ideas will be clear, crisp, concise language. And It is a matter of building it into your everyday life, because in a conversation, we can, just as I did earlier, you can restate what you meant to say. because you have to build a certain muscle memory in your body of how to speak with impact, memorability, how you speak specifically. How many speeches have we heard? Oh, the three things that will make you successful. Well, things isn't very specific and it doesn't sound very valuable. Yeah. Do you mean there are three ideas, there are three techniques, there are three formulas, there are three strategies? There are multiple words you could use that make what you're going to say more valuable.
Okay.
Would you rather hear three strategies for success or three things for success?
Right.
Right. Yeah. You could see the value of that content shoots up tenfold just by using the word strategy over things.
Right.
Yes.
That's great.
One last question for you, Patricia. Do you have to do this in an English accent?
Is just an added bonus.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Bo said last question, but I'm going to contradict what he said and ask you just one more, if I may, which is we should touch on your educational workshop, which I know is taking the content of your keynote, but putting it, as the title suggests, in action. So can you tell us what's the educational workshop with Darren going to be about? How's that going to work?
Every time Darren and I, and we do this sometimes with other world champions, we have events where we bring up willing participants to deliver a segment of their content and we coach them. It is always the most popular part of programs because it's very easy to present principles and, oh, yes, that makes sense, that's logical. When you actually see it in action and realize the difference between a word, a phrase, a pause, a movement, a tiny improvement can make a dramatic effect. You often can hear the audience gasp. And what makes it so exciting is that Darren and I have absolutely no idea what people are going to give us to work with. And that's what I would consider living on the knife edge of now. And that is so exhilarating for the presenters and for the audience.
Mic drop.
Nice.
There's no safety net.
Right. That is awesome, Patricia. Well, it sounds like you've got lots of gold to deliver here at the International Convention, and I'm sure the participants are going to take away probably pages and pages and pages of notes from what you guys are going to offer. So thanks for coming on the show today and sharing a bit of it with us here, and wish you all the best in Las Vegas.
Well, thank you. And remember, what happens in Vegas at the Toastmaster Convention can stay in your presentation forever.
Patricia, thanks so much. I look forward to meeting you at the convention.
I live until that moment.
All right. You take care.
Goodbye, gentlemen.
Bye-bye.
Bye. After a failed business in 1992, Darren LaCroix took the stage in a Boston comedy club and bombed miserably. Friends told him that his dream of making people laugh for a living was crazy and stupid. He didn't listen, and 9 years later, in 2001, Darren outspoke 25,000 contestants from 14 countries to become the world champion of public speaking. Through his live workshops and online programs, Darren helps presenters connect deeply with their audiences. He's the founder of StageTimeUniversity.com, which offers online programs for presenters. He's a member of the Powerhouse Pros Club in Las Vegas, Nevada. Darren is presenting the pre-keynote on Wednesday, August 12th, titled Sponge, What is Filling You? And he's also co-presenting an educational workshop with, of course, Patricia Fripp on Thursday. Darren LaCroix, always a pleasure. Welcome back to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome, Darren.
Hey, thank you, guys, and thank you for what you do for Toastmasters. I don't think people realize how much effort you put in and what an incredible service that you provide for all of Toastmasters. I think it's really cool, and I commend you both.
Thank you, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks for saying that.
And we'll pay you later.
So, Darren, we just spoke with Patricia Fripp a few short minutes ago, and she is pretty fired up to be presenting with you at the International Convention. I can imagine this is an exciting moment for you as well, yes?
It's so cool to be able to open for a mentor. I mean, when I look back to 2001, I don't know if she mentioned this or not, but that was the last time she spoke at a Toastmasters convention. And she was the keynote speaker. And I remember sitting in the audience, and I'm a very visual learner. And for years, at that time, I was a professional speaker, but just part-time. And I had been taking the advice, you know, the well-meaning advice structure of a speech, tell them what you're going to tell them, tell them, tell them what you told them, which is okay. It's not bad, and especially for a seven-minute speech. But when you're talking about 1 hour, there's a lot more to it than that. And so I was using the old structure in my paid keynote speech. And when I saw Patricia Fripp's speech model, the visual of it, I said, oh my gosh, I get it now. And it was such clarity by just seeing and understanding her speech model and mostly how to use it. I remember her, I don't know if she told the story or not, I remember her coming over, and she was very close to another friend and a mentor, Alan Weiss. And after I had won the championship, she said, I'm calling Alan. I'm telling him his boy won. It was very funny, but truly, truly, it is a privilege to be able to open up for Patricia and really let people know how important it is, A, to have mentors, but really just to honor the people who brought you where you are and never forget that we got to pass it along ourselves.
Right. So is that what the pre-keynote is? It's like a keynote, but it pays less?
yes, exactly. For our overzealous grammarians out there, yes, normal people do occasionally say ums and ahs, but I don't care. I got the trophy.
That's right. You earn the right.
No.
We'll reply politely to the angry emails that are going to come in from that, Darren. No worries.
Send them, forward them to me. So, you know what? There's a bigger picture, too. And I tease people about that. And it's really cool to get ums and ahs in order. But it's also unrealistic to be in the moment and do our presentation without an um or an ah slipping out. So a little side lesson there. But yeah, the pre-keynote is setting the stage. I asked Toastmasters when they invited me, which was huge. And I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Mark Brown last year was the first world champion to address the whole audience, meaning doing a general session. Mm. We've been invited to do breakouts every year, but that was big last year. So it's really an honor to be the second champ to be in front of everyone. So they give me 5 minutes, I would be thrilled, but they're giving me 25 minutes. And when I asked headquarters what they wanted me to do, what's the intention, which as professionals, we should always be remembering we're just a little part of a big event. And what part do we play? Because our goal as presenters is to fill that void, to give them the best piece of what they're looking for. Because we're not the whole event, even if you're the big name or anything like that. We need to fit in. So when I asked them, they said that they really wanted me to set the tone for the whole conference. So, and set up listening and learning so that people get more out of the conference. And that's very different from what I normally do. So I had this new keynote that I've been working on called Sponge, and I thought this would be perfect. This would be the perfect entree to the Toastmasters 2015 convention. So I'm excited to fit in, and I know this speech is exactly what they're looking for. So I'm pumped.
Right, that sounds great. I got to ask you this, Darren, because often a session like this would have a title that everyone would hear the title and say, okay, I know what that's going to be about, improving your speeches with vocal variety. But I'm intrigued here. So what is the significance of Sponge?
Well, thanks. That's a great question. And intentionally, I don't want people to know. I want people to be curious. So you fell into my plan.
Now you're going to sell them a bunch of MLM products, right?
Right. Yes, I'm going to show you the pyramid. No, I really believe that when people ask, what's the difference? I mean, people come to Toastmasters or they come to a conference and people leave feeling good. But what are you going to do differently? And what are you going to take away from the conference? What's that X factor? Because we've seen people who can listen to the same presenter or attend the same conference, and some people leave and a big change has occurred. And some people leave and they just feel good, but nothing really changes when they go back to their Toastmasters club on Monday. Mm. And Sponge is about what you're doing with your time and your intention and the people you spend the most time with. And I'll be talking a little bit about Jim Rohn's quote, "You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with," which is a brilliant quote, but let's go deeper. What is it? Who are the five people we spend the most time with? And do you really take inventory of your five? You know, who is it that you, now obviously you guys spend a lot of time together. You know, sometimes we got to evaluate if we want to, you know, let's just say drop our fifth out of our five and maybe bring in somebody or spend more time with somebody who really is going to inspire us or push us. Sometimes we get comfortable, but this program is what's filling your mind. And it's not just the five people you spend the time with, but in your own time. Are you reading books? Are you listening to audio? I know one of the stories I'll talk about is when I moved here to Vegas 7 years ago, I was coming out of a past relationship and kind of upset and mad at the world and not a happy person. And I would sit here as an entrepreneur working out of my home, and I would have Law and Order on in the background. And there's nothing wrong with watching Law and Order. But if you have a Law and Order marathon going for 8 hours a day in the background, you know, that's going to affect you. And at the end of the day, I'd be like mad and angry. And it's just like, well, dude, you had this TV show on in the background was death, murder, dying, suicide, all these bad things. Your brain takes that in. So that fills you and that becomes part of you. So at the end of the day, if I've been filling myself with that negative, all I can give is what's inside me. So for you and I as presenters, we have to take a look at what we're taking into us so that we can give more and help more people. That brief synopsis, but I could go on and on. I love this stuff.
Very cool. A true confession here. I was sharing with Bo last night that I've been binge watching Walking Dead. So I'm not sure what that means for me in my future, but maybe it's time to cut back. Darren, we were chatting with Patricia about the session that you're doing with her, the educational session, which she shared with us that you're going to be inviting audience members to test out parts of their speeches with you guys, and you're going to give them some coaching on the fly. And I know you've done this type of thing with Patricia together as well as on your own, but could you share what that experience is like for you and how you think it's going to impact the audience?
Thanks. Well, I had been a Toastmaster for about 7 years when I came across the coaching of Mark Brown, and I thought I was a pretty good speaker. I was the guy in my club that it was very hard for my club mates to give feedback to. You know, I would get the pat on the back. Oh, that was great. You might just do this little thing or that little thing. And honestly, it wasn't growing. I reached a point. But the problem was my ego. I started getting a little full of myself. And when I think back to those days, it really was an ego thing because I was, quote unquote, the king of my club. And then I met Mark Brown. And Mark had decided he or offered to coach me, and I sent him the very first version of my speech. And I presented it to him in New York, where he worked. We were at Reader's Digest, New York. And I handed it to him. We were in a little meeting room, and I'll remember his face. And he looked at the speech, my first version, which I thought was the greatest speech in the history of Toastmasters. And he looked at it and shook his head and said, "Oh, Darren, we have some work to do." And my reaction was, "What? I did everything you told me to do. I wrote the greatest speech that I could write from the level I was at." I did. But I didn't realize there was a whole additional level or two of speaking. You see, Toastmasters is powerful, and we can learn great things and build our confidence. But what I wasn't getting from my club was that higher level of education, that coaching. I didn't know really what coaching was. I thought just a tweak or two here and there. But after I worked with Mark, I also started working in coaching alongside Patricia, and I learned volumes, showing the difference between good and great. That's what this coaching session will be. because a lot of people hear a speaker and be like, oh, that's good. But there's so much that affects the audience's listening. So for example, when I originally gave my story of how I told mom and dad I wanted to be a comedian, I told it and I said, so I went home to tell my parents I wanted to be a comedian, and they were speechless. And that's kind of unemotional. It's the fact, it's a story, but it's told in narration. So these advanced techniques, these world-class techniques that I learned from Mark and from Patricia, they taught me to take your stories, and if I could do one thing to get speakers to be a better storyteller, it would be to tell your stories in dialogue rather than narration. And so when you hear principles, it's one thing to hear them. What I love about this session and the exciting part about this session is you will see the application. So we'll bring people up from the audience. They will give 2 minutes, maybe not even a minute of their speech, and we'll instantly have five things that would make it better. And so it's really powerful to see coaching in action. Not just know the principle of dialogue, but see the difference it makes. So it's going to be incredibly insightful. And I realized Mark, when he looked at that speech, he could see in 2 minutes what I could see after 7 years as a Toastmaster. And people are going to walk away from this session having a whole new understanding of a world-class level of speaking.
Wow. Sounds like it's going to be incredible. And for those who are listening carefully, between Darren and Patricia, we just got a ton of tips and things that we can incorporate into our speaking and our next presentation. So to see you guys coach on the fly, that's just going to be an amazing opportunity. So thank you, Darren. Thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing about your pre-keynote and your educational workshop. And wish you a smashing success in Las Vegas.
Yeah, thanks,
Darren. Thank you. This is it's kind of a pushing myself too, because being a new pre-keynote, as they call it, I'm actually having large bowls of water, clear water and dark water, and working with a prop is very different. So it's pushing me as well. And the coaching session, we just have fun when we do it. And this is what we do all the time. So it's not just doing, but teaching and coaching. And I think people really walk away with some new insights that they can apply right away. So thank you both for having me here and for what you do for Toastmasters. And Bo, we'll see you in my hometown here in a few weeks.
All right, Darren, you take care.
Everybody listening, too, come join us live in Las Vegas, 2015 International Convention.
Brought to you by Darren LaCroix.
All right, thanks again, Darren.
Thank you, guys.
Alex Malley is a visionary and free spirit when it comes to leadership and life. Not only is he the chief executive of the multinational organization CPA Australia, with 19 offices globally, more than 150,000 members in 120 countries, but he's also a TV host, best-selling author, LinkedIn influencer, and blogger for the Huffington Post. Alex Malley, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome, Alex.
Thank you very much, Ron. It's nice to be here.
So, Alex, you're going to be giving a session at the International Convention Friday, August 14th, 2015 in Las Vegas, Nevada, entitled Life is Too Short for Fear and Embarrassment. Share with us, to start us off here, why are fear and embarrassment issues that you feel are important to address with the Toastmasters audience?
Look, I've lived a rich life. I've had some great opportunities, and primarily it's been because I've shared the words fear and embarrassment from my life, and I've watched far more clever people than me limit their own life because of those words. And so the session's really about many of the scenarios that I learned, particularly with my mother when I was young, when she had depression, and I saw how confined her life was, that if you were able to shed fear and embarrassment, there are no limits to the manner with which you can live your life. And that took me to secure the only interview ever filmed of Neil Armstrong's entire life, because I believe in stretching yourself and really aiming for something that is big.
Very cool. So how are you going to approach this topic at the International Convention? Is it going to be an interactive workshop or more of a lecture-type format? What do you have in store?
Yeah, look, it will tend to be, first of all, a delivery of a whole lot of issues that start to arouse people into thinking about and provoking them to think about how much more they might have in them themselves. And I'll share some stories, some humorous, some not so humorous, but all of which give examples about how empowering it is to face fear and to leap out and aim to achieve something that's bigger than day-to-day life. And we live in a very superficial world. We live in a society where people value things that in real terms aren't intrinsic and aren't in a long-term sense valuable to them. So I'll work through a few of those and then we'll go into an interactive session. And every time that I deliver those interactive sessions and work with a group, it's stunning how many people will talk to how many times they've not taken that next step for fear of the unknown. And life is too short to fear the unknown.
You know what? It sounds like people are going to walk out of this session just an inch taller. Don't you think so, Ryan?
It does sound that way. Any promises?
Well, they'll certainly be disrupted. They'll be disrupted to think about how much they've achieved to date and perhaps how much more they can achieve by broadening their own perspectives. And, you know, life's about context. If you give yourself a broader context, if you expose yourself to more opportunities, more people, more scenarios, you have a better context for what's valuable and what isn't. And I'm big on pushing people to build context in their life. And I think all of us have faced traumas in our life. I faced quite a significant set of traumas as a child. But I think that's something that gives you the opportunity to build context and to understand what one should fear and what one should not fear.
Alex, I wonder if you could give us a tip. I mean, I'm sure there are lots of different scenarios of people who are dealing with fear and embarrassment, whether it's someone who's trying to work up the courage to give their first Toastmasters speech, or maybe they had a Toastmasters speech that didn't go so well and they want to give their next one. Maybe it's someone who was trying to start a business, but they're not sure they can do it. What's something you could give people that they could hold on to as sort of a tip to push past those barriers?
Well, one of the things I talk about is selecting one thing that you've often said you'd like to do but you haven't done. It's not necessarily a huge leap, but certainly a leap from where you are. And just go out and attempt it tomorrow, whatever that is, and walk through whatever fear you've created for yourself. But fundamentally, to go back to the core of who you are, and my view is that in your childhood, you're quite close to many of your best instincts, and you're untouched by adults in terms of their well-meaning ways as you grow older. And I have a very childish curiosity. I've maintained that. I'm very comfortable about being myself. And I think those sorts of things, just being yourself in front of a group of people as opposed to being someone who's shaping yourself up in anticipating that's a better form to appear like in front of people than just being yourself. And sometimes people just being themselves in front of others is facing your fear because they're trying to protect themselves because, you know, they've just got this sense that who they are as themselves isn't good enough, and it is good enough.
All right. Good stuff, Alex.
Okay, Alex, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. I think the participants at the International Convention are going to get a lot of value from your session, which again is going to be held Friday, August 14th, 2015 at the International Convention. Alex Malley, thanks again.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you so much.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.